what would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might wanna stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
The night when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Well, now you do know. Welcome to St. John Forward Radio for on the air August 7th, Monday night. But this is another daytime sun in my face. We're actually recording this on Saturday, August 5th. And anyway, St. John Forward Radio. You can't call in this week because you don't want to anyway, but that's not even an option this time. So we're here on the Saturday because I've got a special big star celebrity out of town guest. So to make those accommodations, I'm here. But she still needs to endure me rambling at the beginning. This isn't going to be. I just told my guest not to move the mic stand around, and now I'm doing the same thing. Pre-recorded. This is the day after No Jokes Barred Deluxe on Friday night with Shane Ogden hosting, Matt Keenan, Steve Fudge, me, and headliner Brittany Campbell, who we will talk to in a little while. Former caller in to the show. I got very little sleep last night. I'm kind of hungover. I'm not prepared for this show at all. So we're going to wing it, and you're going to like it anyway, because I am the greatest radio host of all time. That's just what the people are saying. I'm not boasting. Well, I guess I am a little bit, but there's a lot of people that I've made up that are saying that, so it's got to be true. What's going on with me? I had been complaining about work a lot lately, and it had been rough, but I think this week things are kind of turning around, so I think the rest of the summer is going to be pretty good. Still not sure what's coming up in the fall. I'm feeling better about it than I had been. I had an interview a couple weeks ago. I think I said it on last week's show, and it went okay. Did not get that job, but that was the open mic interview. I'm still waiting for the big time shot. I was supposed to do a phone interview on Thursday with another place. But we were communicating through Indeed.com, and some of the emails didn't go through, so I never got the phone call on Thursday because they didn't hear back from me that I was able to do it. And then it was supposed to happen yesterday, Friday, but the entire phone network was down, conspiring against me, John Forward. So I wasn't able to do that phone interview either. We're going to reschedule that one for Tuesday. So you'll hear about it on next week's show, maybe. Some other stuff. I've been applying. I got an email from somebody about one of them saying that they are very interested in my highly credentialed self, but they might be hiring for it internally. But if not, they'll be in touch, which I appreciate it. But that seems weird. Like, why wouldn't they just not bother contacting me until they know one way or another? But good on them for giving me a little bit of hope in my life that sorely needs it. So it doesn't make any sense to me, but I appreciate it anyway. Also, during the big phone crisis yesterday, it came back in briefly long enough to realize that I had a voicemail. I'd been shortlisted for some other job that I applied for, and they wanted me to call them back. But I didn't have anything to write with when I got the message, so I stopped it, and I went and found a pencil, crayon, and a piece of paper so that I could write down this person's name and number to call them back. But then the phone service went out again, so I couldn't hear the voicemail for the second time, so I'm just agonizing over this because they had tried to call me, and I couldn't get the number. Eventually it came up, I called them back, and they it was somebody from the recruiting office up there, and they just wanted to explain to me kind of what the job was, and we're a little reluctant. Like, they wanted to reach out and make sure that I was still interested, because as they said, I'm gainfully employed already, and they just wanted to talk about compensation and just keep in mind that this is a charitable organization and blah blah blah, so that their base salary is $60,000 a year, which I guess I would lower myself to accept that. They don't need to know how much I'm currently making at my current gainful employment, or that it ends at the end of this month. But I'll reluctantly take your huge sack of money, other job, if you want to have me. So they will be in touch about that, and looking forward to it. Comedy-wise, like I said, great show last night. I did a little taste of one of the stories from the Honey Garlic Fringe show that's coming up August 22nd to 26th, I think, whatever that week is. Tuesday to Saturday, 5 nights, starring John Forward. I left that one off on a cliffhanger. I might do that same thing at the Big Tease event on the Monday. I'm getting various informations about how long your teaser set is going to be. Last time I did it, it was 4, and I thought that's what I was told, but I got like a tech survey thing just asking what kind of fancy pants stuff is going to happen in the show. And it said 2 minutes on there, which I don't know. That's, I don't know what I can do in 2 minutes, but I'll give it a go if that's what it is, but who knows. I should probably find out for sure. Sarah Rankin, festival director, Fundy Fringe Festival. If you're listening to this, you can just let me know, hey, John, this is how much time you have. Rather than me just sending you a message, I'm going to take time out of my radio show to speak directly to a person who may or may not be listening to this. But anyway, if anybody knows, let me know. But I've been working through it. I did a first draft. I recorded the audio. I nitpicked it. Made a lot of cuts, edited the script, recorded a second time. I nitpicked that one. And then I went through it again, so this weekend at some point I will probably record the third take, and I'm just going to keep going back and forth nitpicking. I think that'll help me for the memorization angle of it, and I'll just keep doing that until I don't really need to edit it anymore, and then I think I'm going to get super ambitious and start videotaping my run-throughs and kind of, for the first time ever, being conscious of what I'm doing physically. I want to have it planned out. Like, there's going to be huge, big set pieces, like the part where I stand up and then the part where I sit down again. So that's going to need to be planned out. I keep being tempted by having like sound cues and just little effects, but the last time that I tried that, it blew up in my face. So part of me wants to strip it back and just be a man and a microphone. But I keep thinking of like, oh, it'd be really funny if I could just have this sound play here when I say this, but I don't want to rely on the guy in the back room hitting the cues and screwing me up and throwing me off. I do have a little machine that plays samples. I didn't realize it, but you can only play like a few seconds for a sample, and I could just have that on stage with me and I could hit the button myself, but I don't know, that might be cumbersome. I'm not really sure if I'm gonna do that, but anyway, the show's coming along. I've got an hour slot for the Honey Garlic show. I'm aiming to have the scripted portion be about 50 minutes so that I can build in some time for some audience interaction, maybe, just to keep people awake, because I think I said this last week, but if they're just listening to me monotoning into a microphone for an hour, they might fall asleep. So I need to do something to keep people on their toes. So I practiced a little bit of crowd work last night at O'Leary's, and it went pretty good. So I think I've got a few parts in the script where there's room for some crowd work. So I'll attempt that, and if it doesn't go anywhere, I can just bail on it and get back to the script and finish early if I need to. So that's that. I've got the posters for Honey Garlic. You might see them around uptown. I've got flyers that I have not handed out any. I don't know if I mentioned this last time. I did have flyers, and I considered bringing them with me to the Yuck Yucks amateur night that I went to before a couple weeks ago. But I figured that, you know, I wasn't going to get myself in trouble and, like, just hang out outside the door and hand them out again. That didn't go well for me last time. But I was going to have them in my pocket just in case, like, I was talking to somebody and it came up organically, just so I could say, here's the thing, instead of, well, on this date, I'm doing this time to this time. It's all there, but I didn't bring it with me, and it turned out that I could have used it. There's somebody in the audience that was sitting next to us, said that I kind of looked familiar, and it turns out that she recognized me from a previous Fringe Festival. I'm like, oh, I've got a show. No flyer to give you. But anyway, I think she said she was going to be out of town this year anyway, so it doesn't matter. That's all I've got to say for now. I'm joined by my guest, Brittany Campbell. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
Doing good. As mentioned before, Brittany headlined No Jokes Barred Deluxe on Friday. We'll talk about that. She's from PEI, but currently making moves. So we'll get back to her. But I'm just for now. I'm feeling good about the Honey Garlic show. I think it's coming along good. I try not to set my expectations too high for these types of things, because then that often ends up with a big sad crash. But I don't know. I think it's going to be good. I think people that come to see it are going to enjoy it. I guess it's just a matter of a marketing issue to make sure that people do come out to see it. And I want to stay humble, but this just might make me the Michael Jordan of one-man shows. So we'll find out. And we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio. Oh, wait. I've got to turn the volume back up on the phone. There we go.
Figured I would hit the NBA and make me a fortune. Every time I'm in my city, I be hacking like my shit don't stink. Used to clean my rolling chain with alcohol in the sink. Riding around with niggas that I grew up with, smack near. Bumping me against the world, hello world, Kendrick here. And I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that, and that's just how it goes. Michael Jordan. Bounce, bounce, ho, bounce, bounce. This shit make a nigga wanna get some bread or bust a head or fuck my enemies, bitch. Acting bad and getting rich. Pull up on them 26s, I'm a vanity slave. I'm a sinner, Jesus Christ, please forgive me for my ways. I don't know why your bitch wanna fuck me. And I don't know why you fuck niggas can't see. I'm a Comptown, represent a concrete backflipper, aka that nigga. Don't worry, I don't know why your bitch wanna fuck me. And I don't know why you fuck niggas can't see. This is high power, since the Eddie Bauer. I've been popular, I'm popping now. Every other hour, paparazzi come, you jocking her. Let her be a hoe, why you stopping her? We stopping the traffic, what you know about them hockey pucks? Skating on them, why you hating on them? You should learn from them. Seen too many y'all getting money, know my turn coming. I don't know why your bitch wanna fuck me. And I don't know why.
Hey, wait a minute.
Every time I'm in my city, I be feeling like my shit don't stink. Used to clean my rolly chain with alcohol in the sink. Riding around with niggas that I grew up with, since Mac near. Bumping me against the world. Hello, world. Kendrick here. And I'm too much for these niggas. I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas. I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas. I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that. And that's just how it goes. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. That makes me too much for these niggas. I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that. And that's just how it goes. Man, the game chose me. What am I to do? Only thing I did wrong was make it possible. I diddy bop and make them titties pop. Out they on my bumper like a city cop. Walking out of Fred Siegel, put my girl on it. Ass so fat, probably sent the world on it. Pussy crazy, pussy crazy. You fuck niggas, you pussies crazy. Man, I know I can't tell you about the world, homie. But I know I can tell you about your girl, homie. Her pussy crazy, her pussy crazy. I fuck, nigga. I know you hate me. I know they pay me too much of attention. Bring my name up, it gotta be mentioned. I need me an engine that go real fast. Call it Hall of Fame, once it haul ass. Give me tall glass, coconuts a rock. Please no soda pop, I make my solar pop. Life's a bitch, her pussy crazy. But I make that pussy pay. Every time I'm in my city, I be feeling like my shit don't stink. Used to clean my rolly chain with alcohol in the sink. Riding around with niggas that I grew up with since Mac Near. Bumping me against the world, hello world, Kendrick Hill. And I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that, and that's just how it goes. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. That means I'm too much for these niggas. I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that.
I remember tripping, walking through the set like my Glock don't think. Grandma in the kitchen, neck bones in the sink. I don't know why your bitch wanna fuck me. And I don't know why you sucker niggas can't see.
I'm from Hoover, man. High as Superman. Shit, you lowest lane. You pussy, man. With the pussy gang. Shit, we off the chain. We poppin', ain't Fortune, not the bang. Shit, you backwards, man. You chasing hoes. We replacing those. Bagging past them hoes. You brought the chose. Yes, she moving on. Yep, we do it wrong. We fuck the homes. Fuck the center home. Marijuana strong. You know I'm gone. Turn my swagger on. And my swag enough. My paper long. Yep, you left alone. You get slow fucks. Leaning off the active up. Passing blunts round and round. Told me Mary was a goat, so we passed around and round. Yo bitch text me once and now, so I had to knock her down. Perk her bouncing on my ball, slinging dick up from the mound. You let it slide, I hit home runs. Clean her dug up till I'm done. I can be your number two and you can be her number one.
Number one.
Her pussy crazy. Her pussy crazy. You fuck.
Every time I'm in my city, I be feeling like my shit don't stink. Used to clean my rolly chain with alcohol in the sink. Riding round with niggas that I grew up with since Mac Near. Bumping me against the world, hello world, Kendrick Hill. And I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. I'm too much for these niggas, I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that, and that's just how it goes. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. Michael Jordan, bitch. That makes me too much for these niggas. I'm too much for these hoes. Wayne told me that, and that's just how it goes.
John Forward here for St. John Forward Radio. That was Kendrick Lamar with Michael Jordan. Here with PEI's favorite comedian, Brittany Campbell. How are you doing?
It's not much to choose from, so.
Well, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
but, yeah. Are you a comedy boot camp champion? Should I be touting that?
No, I am a comedy boot camp runner-up.
Okay.
Yeah,
who won?
Taylor Carver.
Okay.
He moved to Toronto a little bit ago. He's been doing it for about 10 years. He kind of started a comedy scene in PEI, but it was just kind of too hard to keep going. So he ended up moving to Toronto. And he's a super great guy, so I was not sad.
Is he the guy that has kind of a bit of a girly voice?
Yeah, he kind of plays up the, oh, poor me, like...
Yeah, I think he was on the last show that I did at the Whiskey. It was the one that...
Shorter guy?
Yeah, I think so. I don't remember. You were probably at that show. It was the one where a bunch of people, like Vince and Godso and them, all had an Airbnb, and Mark Harnett was there.
Yeah, maybe.
Me and Arif and Splood. took a comedy road trip. That's where we recorded the Hammered Cast afterwards.
Yeah, that was that was a pretty good show. You did really well in that show, actually.
Yeah,
I did. Not to say actually, like in a rude way, but you did.
Yeah, to everyone's surprise, I didn't fail completely. It was a good time. Yeah, I think that's the only time I went out. You've asked me a couple of times to come out, but I think most of the times that you've asked me have been on a weekday, and I just can't make it happen.
I was doing shows on weekends, but I found out after a while that in PEI, when there's lots going on, weekdays actually work better because everyone in PEI just seems to book all of the fun stuff on the weekends, so they're always busy. So I was like, whatever, I'll do like a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah. No, you need to, before you move, you need to or have a show at Rainbow Valley.
Oh my God, that'd be awesome.
Have a rainbow.
Just put a tent there and just...
Is there anything... That place is closed, but is there... Or is it? I think it is.
Right? Yeah, totally closed.
Is it just like a vacant ghost town of a former tourist attraction?
I think
Is there something going on there?
I think someone took all of the stuff and brought it to their house, and maybe they're thinking about opening up some area where you can just look at all the stuff. I'm not sure.
Is the spaceship still around?
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's not going to fit in the garage.
No.
But so,
it was really sad when it closed. And then for years after, you told people who were like, oh, last time I was in PEI, I was at Rainbow Valley. Like, well, it's gone now, and they just get sad.
Yeah. I used to go in the summers with my parents before the divorce tore our family apart. Is the Wax Museum still a thing in the Ripley's, believe
yeah,
it or
I
not?
Yeah, I think so. I've never been.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. I remember I was into horror movies when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so
okay.
there was like the separate branch for like the scary section of the Wax Museum, so that people didn't want to go in there. And they're like, well, you can go this way, and you go in there, and it's all just, it's a wax museum, celebrities, and then there's just this one, 10-foot-long side path that just has just bloody murders and people hanging up by hooks. And
oh, I actually kind of want to go now.
that's the memory I have from it when I was a child. It's probably nothing, but...
it probably doesn't stand up as an adult.
So, speaking of stand-up...
I like that.
We just did No Jokes Bar Deluxe last night.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about your experience of that show?
Yeah, I thought it was a really fun show. It was a good crowd. A lot of comics came out, which was really nice to see a bunch. I don't know if that's a normal thing that always happens.
Yeah, it's pretty comic-heavy,
But there's still lots of other people that I didn't know who they were.
But I find... Even though there are a lot of comics that come to that show, it's not the kind of thing where people kind of you're just doing a show for comics. But the comics that are there as comedy fans.
Oh, yeah. They're there as audience members, and they're the best ones because when they laugh, I know them, so I can hear who's laughing the loudest from the front without even seeing them. So
yeah, and it's cool usually experience. Not, I don't know, maybe they're just... kissing ass, but I think people that come to that show are there because they want to see a good show, because the best comedy fans we have around here are the actual comedians.
Yeah,
like,
it's true.
We're the comedy nerds, and I don't know, and people are into it, and they're paying attention, and they're laughing. They aren't just messing around on their phones and just there to be seen or waiting to go up.
No.
There's a lot of people there that weren't on the show, so... it's fun, and I don't know. How many people do you think was there? I'm bad at judging numbers.
20? I would say 20, 22, something around there. Yeah. I don't know what two extra makes a difference, but...
It's a small room.
Yeah. So it felt like it was full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the... is that your second time? You headlined before, didn't you?
I headlined O'Leary's once before, and I hosted O'Leary's once before.
Yeah.
This is my third time there. It was good. I feel like there's a lot of things I could have done differently. I probably could have prepared more of what I was going to say.
No, but you did great, and that's what it's for.
I think it worked better that I didn't prepare, because I actually went up there and was just kind of comfortable and relaxed, and a lot of things I didn't plan on saying, they just kind of came out.
Yeah.
And that was better.
That's what it's for.
Yeah.
It is a half-hour paid gig headline spot, but it's still pretty low stakes.
Yeah.
I still want people to experiment with it, and I understand most of the people that are... doing those longer spots, they don't do them regularly, so I don't have any grand expectations, and you did great anyway, but even if you bombed, I wouldn't be I better not bring her back.
Yeah, exactly. And you gotta have your first time to try doing 30 minutes somewhere, so
yeah, and that's why I wanted to do it, because there wasn't not a lot more than 10 minutes yeah. for the most part that you get to do. So this is a little bit more. I'm hoping that in some way or shape it helps us grow some good real headliners
yeah.
that could do like Chuckles or maybe Yuck Yucks someday. Just, but it's hard to make that jump if you're just doing like 5 to 10 minute spots all the time.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we'll have you middle, and then you do 20, but you've never done more than 10.
Yeah,
like.
Yeah, because it's good at building up, and even the 15 is a bit longer.
Yeah.
When I started doing that, I guess when I was just doing the R Bar and Wilser's Room and stuff, I think I had never done more than one joke per set. I would just do one 10-ish minute long thing, and if the bit was longer than that, I would trim it down. If it was shorter, I would kind of add in some filler, or just not like bad filler, but
no,
I would round it out and talk a bit about, like at the beginning, just set it up, maybe talk to the audience if I'm feeling brave, or talk about the venue or the circumstances or whatever, but just something quick before I dive into it. But O'Leary's is the first time I had to do two full bits in a row and had to figure out how to do a transition and all that stuff. And then you go from there, do 30. I've done several different, completely different 30-minute long sets. So.
Yeah, I think I've done 30 minutes like 4 times probably.
Yeah.
Since I started.
And I want to give people a chance to do, if they can do 2 different 30-minute sets, then you can just add those together, and that makes an hour. And it's not always going to be a smooth transition necessarily, but you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. I think it's a really good stepping stone.
Yeah. Yeah, and Shane did a really good job hosting it last night. Matt Keenan did good. The first time he did O'Leary's, it wasn't great, but he did much better this time. Steve Fudge did really good too.
Actually, two of my friends outside, they're like, the guy with the hair and the hat, like, we really liked him. It's like, that's Steve Fudge. Like, he's great. He's fun.
And I got to practice some of my crowd work last night. And
it went really well.
That went better than it usually does, so that was good. And especially, I wasn't even sure if I was going to get to do it because it's a small room. And I can't really do crowd work with people that I actually know. It's kind of weird. I'm like, hey, sir, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I'm your neighbor.
Yeah, you got to be surprised by their answers to make it go.
Yeah. And I've been, RF sent me a torrent for Big J Okerson. He has a season of a TV show, a stand-up show called What's Your Fucking Deal, and it's all crowd work.
Yeah.
Like it's, do you know Big J Okerson?
No, I don't.
Well, he's good. He's known for his crowd work.
I'm the worst comedy fan, because I love comedy, but I don't know a lot of comics that I should.
Yeah.
So I kind of go back and watch a little bit, but...
Well, the format with this is Big J hosts it, and he's got a co-host, Artie, I forget his last name, but the co-host is out in the audience with a wireless mic, and they kind of do a back and forth banter, and they talk to people in the crowd, and having the second guy in the audience, I think, is good because he can just walk up to somebody and be like, "Hey, Jay, what about this guy?" and like be noticing things, and you've got two people kind of working on it, and I think. I did a comedy duo thing with RF at the last R Bar. I think we're going to do it again on the 19th. So I think that's a good dynamic. But so Big J and his co-host, Artie Fuqua, I think his last name is, now that I think about it, they host it, and there's 3 different comics that come up, and they also do all crowd work.
That's cool.
Some of them, you can tell they're cheating a little bit and just doing material sometimes, but they at least make the attempt, and they talk to people in the audience, and sometimes they talk to the same people that Big J or somebody else already talked to, and sometimes they build on it, sometimes they rehash stuff that had already been said because they clearly weren't paying attention to the show, but it's really good. Just I think I'm good at riffing in the moment and interacting with people, but I just for a long time I had a hard time asking questions that would get more than just a yes or no.
I kind of feel the same way, but like my like thing that I notice a lot when people do crowd work is sometimes people will do crowd work and ask the audience member a question, but like no one else can hear what they say, and then they're like bantering back and forth, but you kind of have to like repeat what they said so that everyone else knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So I find that's like the one thing I notice when people are, they might be doing great crowd work, but no one knows what's going on.
Yeah.
But the people who are really doing a good job will repeat it, and it just makes everyone else in the audience laugh too.
Well, and it's, I don't know. I find it's better when I start with some kind of a premise instead of saying, like, yeah, what do you do? I say, you look like someone who does this.
Yeah.
Or I'll ask, like, a specific question instead of just, hey, you over there, say something interesting.
Yeah. So I can talk about it.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's funny when you picked on my friends that run the audience, because every time my friend Jess has been to a comedy show, she always gets called out. One time, Shane, it was the last time I was at O'Leary's, or maybe the time I was hosting, whatever. Jess was sitting in the audience with like three of my other friends, and Shane just walks up and tips his hat and goes, lesbians, and like puts his hat back on like while he was going up on stage. And I found it to be the funniest thing ever. Like, yeah, most of the people there were lesbians, but like everyone just assumes because they're my friends.
Yeah.
And Mark's done it too. It chuckles to them, and it's just hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to talk to everybody that I could.
Yeah.
Except for like people that I'm already pretty good friends
with. And they were right there in the front.
Yeah. And I took some notes like on people's sets so that I could riff on some of the stuff that they said. And I had some ideas. Like, I knew I was going to ask your friends if they were a couple, and then just go from there. And I knew what I was going to say to Ken's comedy virgins that were there, Dan and Chris. And yeah.
I feel like his name's probably like Dan Gerterio, is it?
Yeah.
Because Shane kept calling him Dan Gurr. And it kind of made me uncomfortable, but like it was fun.
Yeah. So let's take a music break and we'll come back. Do you want to which of the two songs did you want to play that you had chosen?
Do you have them right there?
Yep.
I'll play Soup by Blind Melon.
All right, which we found out this morning was not on the album Soup.
It's kind of hidden around somewhere.
Which was the confusion when we were trying to find it last night. So why do you like this song, or why Blind Melon in general?
I'm not a Blind Melon fan. Like, I don't know much of their music, so maybe I do like them, maybe I don't, but I don't really know. This is the only song of theirs that I really
I only know the big one, the Whatever Rain.
I know what you mean. Yeah. I don't know what it is.
No Rain? Is that what it's called? I don't know.
It's possible. I don't know. But my friend had it. She actually made me a playlist on Spotify, and that was one of the songs. And it's just kind of like a relaxed song. Like, don't get so torn up on the small things. It's like, it says in the song, it's like all over a bowl of bitter beans.
Yeah.
It's like all over nothing.
Right.
So,
all right. Kind of a chill song. We're pre-recording, so, and I don't know how to play a station ID, so you're listening to Local FM 107.3, St. John's Campus and Community Voice. I'm not even sure if they say the campus part. I think since they changed to Local FM, I think they're downplaying the university angle. We're a community radio station that happens to be at the university. But anyway, you're listening to it. You're more than likely probably listening to the podcast version of it anyway. But if you want to tune in live, we're here Monday night, 9 to 10, most weeks, unless I have a celebrity out-of-town guest like Brittany here. Let's hear some Blind Melon, and we'll be back on St. John Forward Radio with Brittany Campbell.
The clothesline of cold eyes washing away before. Now tell me what's wrong. You see everyone's gone. You gotta do your best to decorate this dying day, this dying day. All over a bowl of bitter beans. All over a bowl of bitter beans. And outside, way, way up high, I got a cottonwood mist hanging over me. And now I want the rocking chair out of there, but it's no longer living here. It's no longer needed here. All over a bowl of bitter beans. And I got a corner star, and that's all the more for me to praise above the holidays. And now I'll close my eyes really, really tight and make you all go away. I'll make you all go away. I'll make you all.
we are back on St. John Forward Radio. That was Blind Melon with the song Soup off the album Nico. I wonder if is that a reference to Nico from the Velvet Underground?
I have no clue.
We don't. I don't either. And I don't
care. Used to be a bar in Charlottetown called the Velvet Underground.
It's a song. We don't need all the backstory. No. It is what it is. So I'm here with comedian Brittany Campbell, who also has a show of her own. It's called The Cunning Linguist Podcast. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, well, obviously it's called The Cunning Linguist because we're all comics and we're cunning linguists. I don't know. You can take it whichever way you want. But basically I just started doing it because I like talking to comics, and it's just a way to get an excuse to talk to them one-on-one and learn a little bit about them, and then recording it and putting it out. Either people are going to like it or not.
I've been meaning to catch up on it. I think for a while, right. I think I said it wasn't linked up with iTunes, so I couldn't find it on my cod past. I always say that wrong. My podcast player, because I want to listen to it on my phone, I find, but like when it's just on SoundCloud, I have to be at a computer.
Yeah.
Unless you have,
because you have like an iPhone,
the super premium SoundCloud app, it doesn't remember where you leave off. I very rarely sit down and listen to a podcast in its entirety.
Yeah.
I usually listen to it for like this chunk of time while I'm getting ready in the morning.
Especially if they end up being like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's a lot for one person to sit and listen to.
Yeah. So what's the format? Is the only one I listened to, I listened to one a couple of weeks ago. I downloaded the Mark Splood one just because,
cool.
I know Mark.
Yeah.
But it sounded like a Splood cast because it was Splood. So I'm curious to check out the other ones to get the different dynamic.
Different feel.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically right now, like, I'm really bad at editing, like adding stuff in, and like I kind of for a little while, actually quite a while, I just didn't put any out. It was probably because
you don't put out.
Yeah. Well, I do, but doing the intro just makes me feel like really uncomfortable, like talking and then no one's there. And I just say a bunch, and I just don't know.
Try doing the monologue while someone is there just staring at you that can't talk.
Yeah. I know. I couldn't do it. I'm getting a little better at it, but I just decided to have my brother like record a few like introductions, him just saying like, oh, this is Brittany's podcast or whatever, just a bunch of funny things, and adding little bits of songs in there to make it funny to me. But it probably sounds like really shitty quality introductions, but it makes me laugh, so I just do that anyway. And then I just basically talk to the comics, like, I talk about what's going on in shows and stuff like that. But also, I recorded one with a comic who just did an open mic in PEI, and I don't think we really talked about comedy at all.
Yeah.
We ended up talking about random things, which is interesting.
I want to do more of that. Like, most of the people in my circle are comedians, and that ends up being what the show is. But I like it when we take a detour. Like, I really enjoyed when Ian Esty was in here, and we were talking about just, like,
work
corporate
nonsense
and being managed out the door, and that was interesting. We didn't really talk about comedy, but it was good, and... I had Sarah Rankin was in, and I'd like to have more non-comedian guests too. If anyone's listening to this and you have an interesting life of some sort, or if you've got some kind of a project to plug, you can reach out. I would love to have anybody who wants to be on this show.
I love it when people have interesting hobbies or interests or other things they do in their life that is different from the normal thing, like go to work, go home, watch Netflix, have supper, like something that's different. And it's really interesting to me to see how passionate people are about it,
because
they could talk about one thing for like ever if you let them, and it's great.
And I like, well, I'm limited to an hour on this, so it's like sometimes I enjoy it when there's like a sprawling, like the early episodes of the Splood cast were like 3.5 hours long.
Yeah, I think two parts.
Just skip over the 25-minute UFC conversation.
Yeah. Every time.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark Splood, for he usually gives a heads up. John Forward, this is the UFC portion of the show.
These
you
the
can
times.
Skip ahead.
I think it was good that Mark started doing a podcast because it kind of opened the door and gave other people ideas to do it as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure lots of people were doing that before. Like, he didn't invent podcasting, but it's nice to see
him
doing it.
I'm the OG podcaster. I think the original H to the C podcast was in like 2010 or 2011, but that kind of dropped off. You can see, you can hear the whole back catalog on the Podbean page where this show's hosted. But I wanted to get back doing it live on the radio just because it forces me to keep a regular schedule. I got to be here every Monday night, or at least pre-record it like we're doing now, and limits me to an hour. And I also, since I'm recording it live, I don't need to edit it really. I just grab the file off the computer and I trim the front and the end, and
that's it.
Just put it out. When I was doing a podcast, part of the reason I got tired of it was just I'd just get too down in the dirt and just tinkering way too much and spending way too much time finessing and putting in. Like the old H to the C, there's a lot of stuff that's like full on like radio drama stuff with like a soundtrack and sound effects and all that stuff and different like voice effects on
people.
I'll
have to go back and listen to some.
Yeah, well, there is.
It comes up in my Podbean, I think.
I'm going to put it out as a whole. Like, we did different segments on H to the C, and one of them was our mythos section where we'd just do like story stuff. Just the ridiculous mythology of H to the C that we had built up over a decade of being on the radio.
Nice.
And we did like 11 different chapters of that, and I actually have them all edited. I can't talk today. I have it all put together as one like hour and a half.
Oh, nice.
Chunk, so it's almost like a movie, and it's very. It makes sense to me because I came up with it. I think if you were listening week to week or month to month, I think it was coming out monthly, it probably made absolutely no sense. But I think as a whole, it probably, all the references and stuff, story-wise, it probably makes a little bit more sense if you listen to it all together. But there's some stuff when I was editing, I'm like, oh, this is referencing other stuff that happened on that episode.
Yeah.
It didn't work. But yeah, with this, I don't tinker. I think there's been once or twice where I said something that I shouldn't have, so I cut it out or censored it, but just like a quick tweak here and there. At the beginning, I used to have to, like the ending, like now I just do the instrumental fade out, like at least a minute early, just to make the end easier, because it was really inconsistent when the audio log on the computer here would cut off. So sometimes we'd be like mid at the end of the show,
in the middle
of like wrapping up, and I gotta find like a normal place to end it and stick. Anyway, don't need to edit it. This is the lazy version.
That's
of
good.
The show.
I need to start putting some of my episodes out and stop being so lazy about it. And I started, once I got back, I've put out one with Justin Shaw, one with Taylor Carver, and my next one is, those are both comics from PEI that have moved away. And next is Travis Boyce. And then I recorded a drunk podcast with Steve Fudge that I have to fully listen to again and decide if that's something that I want to put out or not.
I don't know if Steve Fudge has ever recorded a sober podcast.
Yeah, true. That's true. And I've got Maggie and Mary.
I think he might have been sober for mine. He was once. Yeah. Well, he had a coffee cup with him. I don't know
what time of day, because he told me that after a certain time of day, it's not coffee.
It was 9 p.m.
Okay, that wasn't coffee.
Yeah, but for the sake of any people that work at the radio station, it was nothing. He was a hologram. He wasn't even drinking any liquid in the studio.
He likes to drink warm milk so that he falls asleep earlier.
Yeah, so let's take another quick break, and we'll figure out what we're gonna close with on the end segment.
Let's listen to a thing.
I thought this was, I don't know what it's from, but my Spotify came out with the song like "Lust for Life" by Iggy Pop from like the Trainspotting soundtrack. For some reason, The Prodigy did a remix of it, and that just came out, and it's kind of interesting. So let's hear The Prodigy remix of Lust for Life by Iggy Pop on St. John Forward Radio. We'll be back with more Brittany Campbell. Let's turn the volume up this time before I hit play, and that would have been real smooth if I didn't have to say it out loud. But here's the song. And it went back down again after I hit play. Here we are back on St. John Forward Radio, hoping that that you have as much of a lust for life as we do, and Iggy Pop, and for some reason the Prodigy is crawled out of retirement.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's I don't know if that's from an upcoming remix album or what. It just Spotify tells me when people that I follow have a new song out.
Kind of a good feature.
It's from. But, so we're coming down to the end of the show. So, Brittany Campbell, PEI, have you lived in PEI your whole life?
I lived in PEI my whole life, except for 2 years that I lived in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Yeah.
When I turned, when I was 20, I think, I moved for almost 2 years.
Yeah,
so, and then I ran out of money from partying and hanging out, so I moved back.
Yeah, so you've got another move coming up.
Yeah,
you're going to Halifax. Do you want to tell us why that is and what's wrong with St. John?
Nothing's wrong with St. John. No, I decided to move because I've been thinking about it for a while.
This is primarily a comedy related decision.
Yeah. Now it is. Before it was kind of I just want to move anyway. Like a few years ago, but I kept putting it off because I kept dating people probably is why yeah. I didn't move, but mostly comedy related now because I have a good job in PEI, but I can take a year leave of absence. I can take up to 2 years actually,
yeah.
And my job's still there until I come back, or if I don't come back, I get to cash out my pension that I've paid into for the last 6 years. So that wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
Basically, I just wanted to move because there's just off of PEI, there's more opportunities to do comedy, and I want to find out if it's something that I could be successful at, or if it's not, and coming to do shows every few weeks isn't enough.
It's hard to find out in PEI.
Yeah, exactly.
There's not a whole lot you can do. I'm still trying to get a job in the fall,
yeah.
But part of me is if I don't, then I wonder what else I can do. Because I think I can be doing more than I am.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not sure if it's anything that's going to create any significant amount of income or not.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if I could stumble upon something and make some money.
Yeah, for sure. When I move, I obviously have to get a job that, a real people job.
Yeah. Well, Halifax is more expensive to live in.
I do have a place to live, and it's not too bad, and it's pretty close to downtown. And I'll get a real job somewhere, but just more chances to try it out. And
there's shows every night down there.
Exactly. So. And I could have moved to St. John. That would have been great. I love everyone here. It's fun, but I don't want to get comfortable. I could have prepared more for last night, even though it went well.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt more comfortable on stage than I have in a while. That was good, but I don't want to, get complacent. So I want to switch things up completely.
Yeah. Well, and it's good to kind of go half-cocked sometimes anyway, just to see if you can do it.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I find it's not as much of an issue now. I try to be looser, but when I was over-prepared before, as soon as one thing went wrong, the whole thing went off the rails and I couldn't recover. So if you're only half-prepared anyway, if something goes wrong, then it doesn't you just roll with it.
I kind of want to try it because I wanted to talk about a bunch of things or a few things that had happened in the last couple weeks, a couple trips I took. I ended up cutting it one spot because I was well, I'm pretty much done with my half an hour, so I'll just end it off.
You could have done more than a half hour.
Yeah.
The show, we don't really have a card out. You could have done 2 hours if you wanted to.
It's all right, though. But it kind of made it loose because I was comfortable up there, so even when I was saying stuff that it wasn't a setup punchline, but there was a few things strewed in there, it worked. Because I didn't seem like I was just fumbling with my words. It more seemed like I was actually meant to say it.
Yeah.
So having less of a set list and more of some ideas of what I was going to say helped with that.
Yeah, and that's something that you probably have more opportunity to do in Halifax. Just
yeah.
To have an idea. Because some people, Marin's one of the people that I'm into, the way that he doesn't write anything. He just kind of goes up and just talks about whatever he's got on his mind and sees what comes from it.
Yeah.
And you can't do that if you're doing three shows a month.
Exactly. If that.
But if you can go up, he has an opportunity to, you wouldn't necessarily have this in Halifax either. But if I had enough of a fan base that would endure it, even if I could do a weekly show that was just me and I just go up and ramble and then take the best 15 minutes out of that hour of nonsense, then that would be a good way to build a set.
That would be cool.
We have to, with the limited selection of shows that we can do, a lot more behind the scenes editing and practicing needs to be happening. But the more that you can actually get out on stage, I think it's probably a quicker way to get good, because you get that immediate feedback and you can do the same set four nights in a row.
Exactly.
Have you done any of the rooms down there yet?
Yeah, I did Mega Comedy Mondays twice. Mm-hmm. I've done the Company House before, and I did like a Pride show there once. Mm-hmm. And that might be it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, and it's a big city. It's not in St. John, even if you are doing three shows a month. There's a lot of overlap in audience, but I find it those shows that seem to be different crowds, so you can do something on Sunday night and then do a slightly different version of it on Monday, and everyone's not like, oh, this person.
Yeah, again. And I feel like I have been kind of strewing in new stuff with old stuff, because the idea of doing like a whole brand new 15-minute set all at one time is really like scary to me in a way. So when I'm coming to shows in New Brunswick, usually I'm traveling, so it's usually a show that I can't, it's usually not an open mic that I can just try something out. So lately I've been more comfortable throwing those things in, because I've figured out my stage presence a tiny bit, so I feel like it's less scary. Mm-hmm. But I think going there and being able to try something out just on a Tuesday, like walk down the road and go try out some jokes and see if they work, and then build up a regular set. So I could actually take all my material and separate them into a bunch of different sets is what I kind of want to do when I get there.
Yeah.
Just take it all out, organize it in a way. So, because now I'm kind of just, each set is different. Like I'm adding the old things in and new things in and just doing it. But then I'll get the chance to take all my material, split it all up, and have different sets that are completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, I write longer bits, so it's pretty common for me to be doing a whole set that's all new stuff, and that it can be harrowing, because if it's not going well, then you're stuck with it for another 10 minutes.
A lot of my jokes are shorter that I kind of piece together or stuff like that, so it's easy to throw them in here and there.
Yeah, I haven't been writing as much lately, just because I've been focused in on the Honey Garlic show and just going over that. I have been adding and improving on all the stuff that's within that, but as far as coming up with new stuff, I've got a few ideas where I just write down like a sentence just so I can remember to come back to it and flesh it out later. But that's been the focus, and I wish I could just go up a bunch of nights in a row and just run through the whole hour and see how it goes and tinker with it that way. But I find mostly it's just, well, through the process of just saying it out loud, even if there isn't an audience, I can still riff on it a little bit. And I can think of something in the moment, just in the course of telling the story, that I wouldn't have thought of just when I'm writing it down. So that helps. And the last couple of days, the end of the day at work, I'm just shooting some hoops on the basketball court and just kind of talking to myself and running through it. And if I think of something, I'll just stop and add that line in on the script on my phone.
That's a smart way to do it.
So when's the big move happening?
September 2nd, I believe. Because I already have an apartment, and I paid my damage deposit and signed the lease and all that. Mm-hmm. And my dad's girlfriend said that they would drive me up to Halifax, because my dad has a truck.
Yeah.
So put all the stuff in it. I bought a bed over there, so I don't have to worry about moving a bed from PEI to Halifax, which is good.
All right. Well, we're wrapping it up. So
like we're wrapping it up on me buying a bed. Like,
yeah, I can't think anymore.
Yeah.
So you can, if you're in Halifax, look forward to Brittany Campbell joining your ranks soon. Cunning Linguist podcast on SoundCloud and iTunes now and whatever else. It's searchable. Do you have anything else you want to plug?
I think that's about it.
All right. Well, I've got the usual No Jokes Barred regulars coming up the third Saturday this month. It's the 19th at the R Bar. And then the week after that, the Honey Garlic Show for the Fringe Festival, Tuesday the 22nd through Saturday the 26th. It's at the St. John Arts Center. You can see posters around town with my cute cartoon face all over them. And this has been St. John Forward Radio.